Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on Blog Talk Radio, liver here on Blog Talk Radio. YesNetwork.com, it'll live the rest of the day there. It's Chris Sheeran. We'll be back with Joe Auriemma tomorrow for our taped version of the podcast. No live tomorrow, but it will live, as they all do, archived at YesNetwork.com and on iTunes as well. You could subscribe and download them directly to your tablet, your iPod, or what have you for free. That's right, for the low price of free 99. You too can enjoy the Off the Wall podcast if you can't get to it live at 12:30 on Blog Talk Radio or archived at YesNetwork.com. You could have it sent right to your smart device. Hey, that would make you a very smart person if you did that, because these Off the Wall podcasts are phenomenal, if I do say so myself. If you want to get on board, if you're out there listening live, 646-716-4961 is your two-way sports talk radio number. I'm going to send that out right now on Twitter and on Facebook, so our live listeners could jump on board. And if they want to give us a call and talk about the Rangers and the Yankees, which is what I'll be talking about for the most of the time today, they can. I'm going to send that out right now. Let me just click and send. There we go. So everybody knows now we're on the air live. So let's talk about the New York Rangers a little bit, okay? Now, I never knew Taps had lyrics until I woke up this morning. I thought of the Rangers and their impending doom and wanted to lead the podcast with an MP3 version of the song. This is why I love the Google. Funkin' Wagnalls has nothing on the Google. The Google has taken the door-to-door encyclopedia salesman and put him directly out of business. And now, for your listening pleasure, Funkin' Wagnalls had those encyclopedias when I was growing up. Kids, in case you don't know, before you were able to use the interwebs to find your information for all your term papers and your homework assignments and what have you and all that other good stuff, you had to thumb through something called an encyclopedia. Now you could probably look up Funkin' Wagnalls on Google and see what I'm talking about. But they were leather-bound books on a fresh mahogany bookcase that I had in my house. And that was how we did our term papers. Or we went to the library and went into the card catalog and then went out and checked out some microfiche. See that in the movie War Games. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Now, if you never knew the lyrics to the song that signifies death, Taps, I had no idea it had lyrics. In this case, a hockey team's playoff obituary, here you go. Here are the lyrics to Taps. Day is done. Gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well. Safely rest, golf is near. Fading light dims the sight, and a star gems the sky. Gleaming bright from afar, drawing near, falls the night. Thanks and praise for our days, neath the sun, neath the stars, neath the sky, as we go, this we know, golf is near. Now, I took God out and replace it with golf, because that's what the Rangers will be doing very soon. As soon as the Bruins put the final nail in their coffin. Now, for all of my cultured listeners out there, and I know you're out there, whether it be live or whether you listen to this on, you know, the archive version at YesNetwork.com, or a smart person on their smart device. Mark Antony's funeral speech in William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, abbreviated with a Rangers twist. Friends, Rangers fans, Off the Wall listeners, lend me your ears. I have come to bury the Rangers, not to praise them. The stench that their power play has produced will live after them. Any good from any player will be interred with their 2013 season bones. So let it be with the Rangers. The noble yet humble host of this podcast hath told you the Blue Shirts may have been ambitious, but besides their king, they have been unassertive. It has been so, and it has been a grievous fault. And tonight, grievously, the Rangers will answer that fault. Here, under leave of Chara and the rest, for Chara is an honorable man, so are the Bruins all honorable men, come I to speak in the Rangers' funeral. They are my team. To continuing to treat every postseason since 1994 like the Ides of March, we all will still love them tomorrow without hesitation. Time once again will have to heal the bitter wounds of another failure. Oh, judgment, thou art like no other in the city of New York when it comes to our beloved teams. Men and women who lose their reason for good reasons, bear with me. Our hearts will be in the coffin with our beloved blue shirts. And we must pause another long off-season, cupless, once again, until they come back to us. End scene. This is not going to be round one against the Capitals, okay? For all you extremely positive fans out there. And if you want to be positive, that's fine. This is not the 2010 Bruins that lost to the Flyers after enjoying a 3-0 lead in their series. Just three teams have come back from an 0-3 deficit in NHL history. The Maple Leafs did it back in 1942. That was in the Cup Finals against the Red Wings. 33 years after that, the Islanders did it to the Penguins in 1975. 35 years after that is when the Bruins spit the bit to the Flyers in the East Semis. It will not happen this year. The Rangers, unlike the first round where they took 4-5 after going down 0-2 to the Caps, will not, I repeat, will not win 4 in a row against the Bruins. Mark it down. Carve it in stone. I'm not breaking any news here. And the limb I am going out on can hold Andre the Giant sitting on an elephant, which is being hoisted up by the short-armed Tyrannosaurus Rex. That limb is pretty sturdy. I am extremely safe in saying that. By the way, I would stand under that tree limb. That's how confident I am. The Rangers, I have to admit, they shocked me in getting out of the first round. Based on what I saw during their regular season, and I was in on, I would say, three quarters of Rangers games this year, from start to finish. Putting their last month aside, which is when they played their best hockey, they've been too inconsistent. And they are extremely too reliant on Henrik Lundqvist pitching shutouts or holding teams to a goal or less. As you go deeper into a season, or in this case, deeper into the playoffs, and find yourself playing multiple games against more talented teams, in fact, the most talented teams that the conference has to offer, regardless of how hot a goalie can get, the biscuit is going to find its way into the basket with turnovers, odd man rushes, and fluke bounces, which have all happened to the Rangers a lot. Lundqvist can't do it all by himself. And this series is eerily familiar to last year's Eastern Conference Finals, where if you remember, and if you're a true Ranger fan, you do, the Devils' fourth line owned the Rangers. Owned! In 10 postseason games, the Bruins' fourth line has 9 points. Nine. Half of them, that would be, not actually more than half, there's my math background for you, more than half, five of the points have come in the three games against the Rangers. That means four were involved in the first seven that they played in the first round against the Maple Leafs. Five in three games, fourth line. Sean Thornton, Daniel Paille, and Gregory Campbell. They've been pretty much unstoppable. And you throw in the guy who's basically a Sopranos crew all by himself, Milan Lucic. Think about it. He's got three first names, and he carries himself like a crew. Hey, Milan, Lou, Cheech, we need a goal. We need him hit. Just an observation by the half-Italian, half-Irish host. Anyway, watching the Bruins in Game 3 was like watching the Pacers out-hustle and out-rebound the Knicks in their Eastern semifinal. That's how the Bruins won Game 3. They got to the loose pucks in that third period. You know, as a true Ranger fan, you're sitting there in that third period, and I would say about 20% of you says, all right, 1-0, Lundqvist has been standing on his head. It's kind of like a perfect game. Everything's been going his way. We've got this. It's 2-1. We could tie it up in the next game 2-2. 20% of you, of your Ranger fandom, was probably saying that. Well, in my case, it was. I don't know where you were, but that's where I was. And then the Bruins tie it up. And then that 20% turns into about, well, I don't know, 0.000001% that they're going to win this game. The Bruins got to loose pucks. The Bruins put the puck on net. And the Rangers' power play continues to reek, much like the dump in Edgeboro, New Jersey, on a hot summer day, covered in fish guts and topped with manure. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's how bad the Rangers' power play stinks. And people who grew up near where I grew up, and you know about Edgeboro, on a hot summer day, put the garden ice basically on top of Edgeboro, because that's what their power play is like. 2 for 38 on the power play. I didn't stutter. That's not a mistake. 2 for 38. That's 5.3% if you're scoring at home. And no, I didn't do the math. I got it on the computer. Their special teams are anything but special. There's one team beneath them in this postseason on the power play. And they've been gone for a while now. The Wild. They played 5 games in the first round. And they were 0 for 17 on the man advantage. The Penguins are at the other end of the spectrum. They're leading the way on the power play in the postseason. They scored 7 goals last night against the Senators to take a 3-1 lead in that series. 2 of those goals on the power play. The Penguins last night, this is how potent they are. This is how scary they are on offense. In the second period, down 2-1, they score 2 goals in a 40-second span to take a 3-2 lead. Not to be outdone. In the third period, they score 2 goals in a 20-second period. And they win 7-3. Let's break it down even more for you. The stench. Okay? The Rangers are tied with the Anaheim Ducks for goals scored in the playoffs. They each have 21. The Ducks aren't playing anymore. The Rangers have played 3 more games than the mighty Ducklings. They have the same amount of goals. Rick Nash, their stud on offense, has 1 goal in 10 games. Rick Nash has 1 more goal than you or I do in 10 games. 1. I have no goals. You have no goals. Their stud has 1. Ryan Callahan has 2 more goals than we have. They need more from these guys. Captain Obvious, hello. Brad Richards, their second highest paid player, has 1 more goal than I have in 10 games. That can't happen. You want to get on Lundqvist? You're crazy. You are out of your mind. Out of your mind. just like a starting pitcher, a goalie's allowed to have a flop every once in a while. You have to pick them up. Rangers aren't doing that right now. When your captain has two goals, your stud has one, and your second highest paid player has one, fingers should not be being pointed at the goaltender, who, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be in these games to begin with. Coming in just about an hour ago, we found out that Mr. Richards will be a healthy scratch tonight, which makes sense. The next line of demotion off the fourth line is the assembly line up in the rafters of the Garden. This is a desperate move being made by a desperate team in a very desperate situation. Down 0-3, at home, in the Garden, and listen, if they're going to go out tonight, they owe the Garden faithful. And those of us who can't get to games and watch from our house, they owe us a spirited effort, at least. One without slumped shoulders. One that we could all be proud of. As fans, we invest too much time. And the people who go, they invest too much money. For this team to have come into this shortened season roaring like a lion, boasting the Stanley Cup favorites, and limping out like a lamb who just had its leg bitten off by the lion they were supposed to be. I will go down with the ship. I will be in front of the TV tonight. I will be watching. Believe that. This is my team. This is what I do. I don't give up on them, but I'm a realist. Three times in the history of the league, history of the NHL, three teams have come back from an 0-3 deficit. '42, '75, 2010. There was a 33-year drought between the first two. There was a 35-year drought between the second two. And if we're doing math problems, you would guess it would be 37 years before the next one happened. And to my calculations, that would make the next team being down 0-3 to come back would be the year 2047. And I'm looking at my calendar right now. It says 2013. It's not happening. So with that, Ranger fans, friends, Off the Wall podcast listeners, I'm sorry, but I am here to bury the Rangers, not to praise them. Let's talk Yankees now. And it could start to get a little bit dicey for the Pinstripes over the next couple of weeks. They have Tampa over the weekend in St. Pete, followed by a four-game set with the Mets. Then they host the Red Sox and Indians before heading out west at the beginning of June. And with Andy Pettitte on the disabled list and Hiroki Kuroda nicked up last night. Now, he'll be reevaluated today with that bruise on his right calf after taking Manny Machado's liner off in the second inning. Yankees are hopeful he will make his next start, which will come against the Mets at Citi Field early next week. But this is what I was talking about earlier in the year, the pitching, especially Kuroda, who even CC Sabathia would admit is this team's ace right now. He was last year, CC copped to that. And so far this year, Kuroda has been the most consistent starter that Joe Girardi has given the ball to this season. And that is not a knock on CC Sabathia. He's still in the top two, obviously, with Kuroda. Every fifth day when the ball is in Sabathia's hand, you know, even if he doesn't have his best stuff, he is still wily enough to keep his team close and in the game. But this team can ill afford to start taking any more injuries to its starting staff. This starting rotation and the bullpen, which has been tremendous, especially this month, if you want to put it into, if you want to make a little bit of an analogy here, the pitching is the fault line for this 2013 Yankees team. And it is San Andreas-esque. Use the Google. Remember, Funkin' Wagnalls, Google. If you don't know what the San Andreas fault is, you should. Especially if you live in California. If there are any more cracks in their first line of defense during the season, their stay atop the AL East is going to be short-lived. If you're waiting for the bottom to fall out of this team, that's what's going to do it. The injuries to their lineup will start to be exposed. And this will resemble the team that everyone thought they would be this year. Now, that's not taking anything away from what this group has been able to accomplish so far this season, which has been nothing short of spectacular. But you have to be a realist here. If you don't have pitching, you're not going to win on a consistent basis in the league. And if you want proof, hey, you know what? Get a Metro card, okay? It's just a short subway ride to get your proof. It's over in Queens. Matt Harvey's 5-0. The other four starters have a combined 5 wins for the Mets. Harvey's ERA is 1.93 today. It was 1.55 entering play yesterday, where he gave up a season high 4 earned in the Mets' loss to the Reds. In 8 of his 10 starts this season, Harvey's allowed 2 runs or less. And the Yankees will face must-see Matt Harvey on Tuesday at Citi Field. By the way, there's some good news on the Yankees injury front now that we're talking about that in the lineup. We don't know when they're going to get back. We don't know when they're going to start a rehab assignment, but there's some good news. Mark Teixeira and Kevin Youkilis, two big parts of this Yankee lineup. Youkilis, who started the season but was lost in late April. Teixeira still hasn't taken a swing in the regular season. They each had 6 at-bats in a simulated game yesterday, as our Meredith Marakovich reported on the BP show with yours truly last evening. She also told us Jabba Chamberlain threw a bullpen and Eduardo Nunez took some BP as well. The bugle isn't sounding just yet, but the cavalry, it's on its way back. And it might be just in time to help the pitching staff out. Speaking of that pitching staff, Michael Pineda is close to some rehab starts. Remember that trade? Pineda for Jesus Montero? Pineda's close to some rehab starts. Montero was demoted to AAA Tacoma today. 208 average, 3 homers, 9 RBI in 29 games. The jury is still out on, you know, what that trade is going to be. Got to see what Pineda is able to do. Didn't really get to see anything except for his spring training last season and a shoulder injury. But from what I hear, he's in terrific shape and he's throwing the ball well. But Montero, demoted, sent down with his 208 average, 3 homers, and 9 rupees. He's just 23 years old. Not saying he's going to stay in the minor leagues. Maybe the Mariners just want to give him a little, you know, wake-up call. We've heard about his attitude. We've heard about how he's upset because the ballpark is gigantic and, you know, the balls that he hits into right center field would be out in Yankee Stadium, and they're just long fly ball outs at Safeco. But But going back to what I was talking about with this lineup being exposed, if the pitching takes any more, if they take any more injuries to this pitching staff, whether it be starters or relievers, team's in trouble. And you know me. I'm positive. I try to stay positive. But I'm a realist. Just like I was a realist when I wrote that blog at the beginning of the season. That said, if the pitching stayed healthy, the Yankees would be in the mix. And I know I'm a freaking parrot, and I keep saying it. I'm a broken record. Rawr! The pitching! Rawr! But you know what? Hey, Albert Pujols is an angel. How are the Cardinals doing? Josh Hamilton's an angel. How are the Rangers doing right now? Those big bangers, they help in the middle of the lineup. Hell yeah, they do. But the guys who take those bats out of their hands, they matter more. And that's going to wrap it up today on the Off the Wall podcast here live on Blog Talk Radio. If you're out there and you're listening, thanks for joining me today. Joe and I will be back tomorrow, as I said, working on a guest for tomorrow's show, and that will be on tape, and it will live on yesnetwork.com for the rest of time as an evergreen, as we call it here in the business. Evergreen trees, they always stay green. So if you ever hear that phrase in the TV vernacular, that's what that means. I figure I'd throw some TV knowledge out there at you, too. Looks like a little prize in a Cracker Jack box. That's going to wrap it up. Yankees are off tonight. Mets are off tonight. Yankees get back to it tomorrow down in Tampa. 3-game set down there before heading to Citi for the first two against the Mets. And then they start a little homestand with the Mets for two, Red Sox, and Indians. It's going to be an exciting little stretch of games here for the New York Yankees. Come along on the ride with all of us. It's always fun, regardless. And in the words of A Tribe Called Quest, the word maraud means to loot. In this case, the Off the Wall podcast marauds for ears. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Have a great day.